Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. It's a Football Friday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Always remember, Football Friday is brought to you by Academy, supported by Tomball Ford. So appreciate you guys rock with us. We were just talking about the college football weekend that will be, and we have somewhat of a college football correspondent on the text line from the 713. Just left Chicago O'Hare, the airport out there in Chicago. Looks like College Station.
That's what I've been hearing,
looks
man.
Looks like now, from J.F. Bear.
Doesn't mean it's going to make a big difference, but I'd rather have 20% of the crowd than 2% of the crowd.
Yeah, so that might just make the TV experience even better, where you get some noise, obviously a lot of noise for Notre Dame, but then you'll get a little bit of noise that comes through on the broadcast for A&M as well. That sounds like a broadcast that I would like to watch a good amount. All right, let's get going here, and we got a big weekend of NFL football. Obviously, one of the big headlines for us is C.J. Stroud, just generally, but then the matchup with Baker Mayfield. Let me ask that as a question. Is this particular matchup of quarterback to quarterback, does it strike you as much as just the quarterback of C.J. and, like, the things that are around him individually?
I mean, maybe this should be something of a confession, too. I think it does. Like, Baker Mayfield, you know, he's one of those guys that you constantly talk about. Boy, he deserves more credit. He's gotten credit in the last year. You know, I think people – do you view Figgy, Reggie, do you view him as, like, an upper-tier quarterback? Because I do.
I think he earned the right to be in that conversation. Now, you could definitely debate if you get down to the nitty-gritty. Is he – tier one, tier two, all that
stuff.
Well, he's not tier one.
No,
I'm just saying.
With all due respect,
you could debate all of that crap.
But
as far as like a respected quarterback, maybe like
close to top
10.
Maybe I'm just seeing too much.
For sure.
How about you?
It feels like he's on the cusp at the very least of those where you have to view him amongst one of the better ones. And it's just, I think the clear thing that I can say is there is no longer any trepidation or, you know, kind of hemming and hawing about whether he is a quarterback that a starter, like a bona fide, will not lose his spot starting quarterback in the NFL, because maybe even I don't want to go to franchise quarterback conversations because that ends up being a little fraud. But you get what I mean when I say that, because you've had a couple different coordinators come through where you can't go, well, it's the coordinator that made him.
Sure.
It's the coordinator that made him. Eventually you have enough. You've isolated the variable enough with him where you go, you have to give him some credit.
And that was the conversation for years, saying, oh, that's the coordinator. That's the coordinator. Now at this point, man, this is third coordinator.
Man, you're looking at his numbers last year compared to Stroud.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those player A, player B things.
Yeah.
If Baker Mayfield's player A, you might take that over player B being Stroud.
And I think I would continue to give, like, context always matters.
Well, sure.
Like, you know, they say numbers never lie, but, you know, the context or the lack thereof can. And so I think that that's where you would need it. However, yeah, this matchup is interesting quarterback-wise. But for me, honestly, I hadn't really thought about Baker versus CJ as much as just CJ needs this.
Yes,
like, outside
yes.
of
well, that's for
outside
sure.
of head-to-head. This is CJ versus, you know, I guess
himself,
what the
offense.
CJ versus expectations is probably more the way to put this. And so that's probably more of what I'm thinking about. Is there any other storyline from this one that you think looms larger? Is it really just that in the offense and trying to score a touchdown or maybe two?
Well, there are a number of subplots, but the banner headline, the marquee is, you know, CJ Stroud needs to. Boy, I'm really going to say this. Make some kind of statement here. He really does. After last year, after week one, he needs to show the world, show, you know, us fans, his own coaching staff, which if you weren't listening earlier, I mean, it's pretty obvious the coaching staff is putting a lot on him in terms of, you know, just not just like a lot on him as a quarterback, but, you know, proving something.
Right.
You know?
And it's worth noting that's because they believe in him and his capability of doing it. But yeah, that's going to be there. I was just curious. This is neither here nor there. I was looking at the Ringer's quarterback rankings done by Stephen Ruiz. I'm very fond of the way he goes about things. He has CJ Stroud as the 7th ranked quarterback in their rankings. Mm-hmm. That is a good, let me do my math right quick, that is a good 9 spots ahead of Baker Mayfield at 16th on that. So that doesn't feel like the vibes coming into this one, mm-hmm. but that is at least what one analyst has of this. But okay, so that's kind of what we have storyline-wise for this game. How does that compare with the weekend of storylines? What other storylines do you like coming into the NFL weekend?
I'm sure some people remember J.J. McCarthy versus Michael Penix Jr., right?
I mean, ooh, that's interesting.
That was the national championship game right in that building over there. Mm-hmm. They're facing each other, man. There's a couple of those, national championship game rematches that I hadn't really thought of until I came across it. I think that's going to be important. I think it's important for them. And certainly both these teams, have something still left to prove. J.J. McCarthy with the great fourth quarter. And I think he has the endorsement of the entire city and much of the NFL as a guy that seems to be, good enough to get it done.
Wait, J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah.
You ready to do that after 1 week, huh?
I said he has the support. He does have the support after that one quarter. How does he not?
When you say has the support, what do you mean? Because I don't want to.
The Vikings are all in.
They've been all in on having
Vikings
him.
Fans are feeling it, feeling pretty good about J.J. McCarthy. I think a lot of the NFL, you saw the headlines after what he did in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but we all sensationalizing things. The natural overreaction
of
a week one.
Well, then C.J. Stroud is overrated. I mean, I'm just saying. Well, I can't believe I said that, but that's probably some truth to that based on his rookie year.
I think that there's a lot more. I am now more curious. I don't know that people are sold by any means on the J.J. McCarthy experience, especially off of just the singular quarter, as good as it was mm-hmm. compared to, especially when you look at it and you go, there was still a lot of the negative that we were concerned about in that game.
Yeah, but I think.
And that's why this one gets interesting. I think he has a good foundation here mm-hmm. in this one because. I still look at the Atlanta Falcons and I go, I'm not confident in your ability to get pressure, mm-hmm. which should allow J.J. to probably get off a little bit.
Yeah, I think that fourth quarter kind of saved it for him, too. Mm-hmm. And then just the comeback win, everybody like a good comeback win, just kind of rally the troops up. Yeah. And I think that's what Minnesota kind of been looking for. I know they had decent quarterbacks.
There's no doubt that it's been romanticized.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy.
It's storybook.
Being romanticized, I think a lot of people are already
probably saying, coming around to it a little bit. Yeah.
So that's
drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. There you go. So that's one national championship rematch of quarterbacks. Another one involves a squad that we're quite interested in. Actually, two squads that we're quite interested in. Cincinnati and Jacksonville. Joe Burrow versus Trevor Lawrence. They played for the national championship against each other.
That is so wild. I forgot about that.
They did. They played for the national championship. And Joe Burrow, that was when his cigar-smoking ass really became a superstar.
Joe Cool. Yeah. Joe Cool. Yeah. And I expect nothing different, at least when it comes to end results. Mm-hmm. Now, process is where it gets a little interesting because it's funny enough, when you talk about this matchup, this one is significantly less about the quarterbacks than I think. Mm-hmm. And it feels bad going backwards. We didn't talk about Michael Penix at all. Can I just interject this real quick? How do you... Are you in a place where you feel good about Michael Penix? Because I actually feel decently okay about him. I'm a little bit further away from the let's see what's happening.
Well,
with him.
Figgy, you remember this. Going into the draft, I really liked him a lot. Then I started questioning myself. I still don't know how good he is, but I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good.
Who do you have faith in more right now between Penix and McCarthy?
Oh, easily Penix for me. Yeah, and some of that is just a factor of we've seen more games from him already, like to the tune of 6.
I would say Penix for that same reason, but I think, J.J. McCarthy, like I said.
You think it's close?
No, I think people are saying, okay, he's going to do this. Michael Penix, you maybe have a bigger, sort of sample size that you can say that with.
And, of course, that game is Sunday night, so mm-hmm. It's an island game. We will have all of the overreactions off of that one, especially with how early both those careers are. But going back, I feel like the Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, mm-hmm. Bengals, Jacksonville Jaguars of it all is less about those guys individually. No, there's going to be a lot about Trevor Lawrence. That's mm-hmm. constantly a conversation as we are falling further and further away from him being golden-haired, golden boy of the NFL. But it's almost weird that the thing that people are most excited to see with that team is far further and further away from him, and it's mm-hmm. now more and more Travis Hunter.
Yeah,
he didn't get... But 6 snaps on defense, do you feel like, it does feel like that will tick up. It seems like they might be slow rolling, really getting him into the fullness of playing both ways. By how much do you think it ticks up seeing Travis Hunter on defense compared to obviously the offensive snaps that he's clearly getting?
I think Liam Code said as much, maybe not directly, but that they're ramping him up on the defensive side. I do think how much it's hard to say, but I think he's going to be featured. I mean, in that game for sure. And I think he will play both sides of the ball. It's going to be fun to watch him all year long.
It's so weird to see you like see a team try to, let's just try and bump up the snaps on a cornerback. Like the cornerback is one of those. There's a few positions in football where it's like you get on the field and you're just on the field.
Yeah.
Offensive line, you get on the field, you're on the field. Quarterback, you get on the field and you're on the field, unless you're Anthony Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Cornerback as well. You're just out there. Like it doesn't feel like there's a lot of
and you kind of have
flipping
to be
in
a
and out.
Flow in the game of the game kind of player too. You know, you have to know your receiver, know where you're playing, sort of get into the groove, make some plays, you know, short memories as people like to watch. He's just going to be out there, okay, make a play. You know, they're just going to put him out there, okay, make a play. 10 snaps, 12 snaps, whatever it might be.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. But, yeah, on the other side, maybe it won't be as much of a test, but I continue looking and seeing, will anybody else on the Bengals stand up mm-hmm. for this team outside of, like, the battery of passer and pass catcher?
Yeah.
Like, does the offensive line continue to get better? Does this defense show up at all? Those are the things that I think I keep seeing in this, as opposed to just the quarterback matchup, even though it is fun to think back to that national championship game.
A couple of interesting things quarterback-wise that I don't know how I read this. I think it's kind of just cool. Joe Flacco, we're all familiar with his work.
Oh, yeah, the Delaware legend.
Mm-hmm. If he wins on Saturday as a starting quarterback, he will have beaten 31 other teams. Only 10 players in NFL history have ever beaten 31 other teams.
Get the gold jacket ready.
He beat them all, just about. But I say only 10 players have ever done it. Another player has a chance to do that this weekend. Matt Stafford, if he wins this weekend, then he will have beaten 31 other teams.
All right, so you got, obviously you mentioned Joe Flacco at the helm for the Browns versus who's this team that plays in Baltimore? Oh, yes, the Ravens coming off of a loss that they had that was very hurtful. No, Lamar Jackson will not deal with any punishment, by the way, for pushing that fan.
Oh, yeah.
And then on top of that, we already talked about earlier, Grant Delpit of the Browns said that Derrick Henry isn't hard to tackle.
He's all right.
I have a feeling that Joe Flacco will not be getting that 31st victory here.
Hey, okay. He's beaten 30 teams, man.
I don't think he's getting that 31st one here. I'm just going to be honest. I feel like Matt Stafford, however, you might be able to chalk that up. Now, the interesting thing here with Matt Stafford is, again, not a direct quarterback battle necessarily with Stafford and Cam Ward. Very, very different ends of the spectrum on the arc of a career
mm-hmm.
at quarterback. Is Cam Ward's team going to fail him again? Because I gave you the raw numbers on his mm-hmm. Game when we were going around the AFC South earlier in the season, or earlier in the week, rather. It is... We got to be fair. Calvin Ridley, a guy that it's probably his best wide receiver, failed him by dropping passes.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, there were some instances where just the rest of his receiving core, I think there was a screen that they had where there was three guys out there. One of them supposed to be catching the screen, two of them going and blocking. All three of them can go and block, which good for them that you have a wide receiving core that is so excited to block that all of them will block. Someone should probably catch the football and he has to dirt a pass. Like, is his team actually going to stand up and help him, including his head coach that doesn't know when to throw a flag?
Yeah. No. I think that's more than a fair question for them right now. Cam Ward, I still believe in him. I know it's just 1 week, but I've liked what he's done. But it comes down to weapons. Although he did say we have the best weapons in the NFL?
The best,
receivers in the NFL.
Good for you knowing how to be a quarterback in the league.
Would that bother y'all if Cam Ward went off in this game and just look good as a quarterback?
I got to be honest, it would a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It would a little
like
bit.
Like, just from a personal standpoint.
Especially against the Rams.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, a Rams defense that kind of had you hemmed up.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can maybe say it wasn't the Rams, it was your offense in specific. But,
well, that doesn't make it better.
I would still make that might make it a little worse.
Yeah. Right. And so that's that would definitely. Now, of course, they have the benefit of being at home at noon, the Titans do. But, yeah, that would upset me. I'm going to be completely
honest. And real quick, I mean, we all plug into all these games one way or another. But I'm definitely going to keep an extra it's going to have my attention a little more. Patriots and Dolphins, just because I want to see just how bad things are. Patriots lost last week, unfortunately, for my survivor pool. But
someone tried to help you. So, wait, can I just ask you? Yeah. Y'all don't have any restorative type things.
One shot.
So you're done for the season.
Done for the year after week one.
Damn.
One shot.
and you put it on the Raiders. You were like, week one, or not the Raiders, you put it on the Patriots.
Yeah. But I want to see how bad things really are in Miami. I don't know. Is that just rubbernecking? You know.
Or yes, what? Yeah. Yes, it is. But you know what? Sometimes rubbernecking is. I mean, we live in Houston. We all about rubbernecking.
We all know about.
Let me ask y'all this: If the Dolphins come out looking all right offensively and win, do that still kind of make bother you a little bit?
I mean,
because they lost to the Colts last week.
Well,
so would that kind of make you look at the Colts a little different?
That's an interesting perspective. I don't think so, because the vibes were clearly so bad, and that's why I started so vigorously shaking my head no when you started asking the question, because I don't think this fixes anything, but at least you start getting what is the ultimate panacea, the ultimate deodorizer, which is winning. Start getting a few of those, and then you might be working towards fixing some of the relationships.
But they got
Tyreek
blew
Hill
out
and,
by the Colts.
No, they did.
If they come
did.
Back this weekend, you know, have a good win.
And that ties in with another, not necessarily marquee game that I'm going to be keeping an eye on, extra eye on, my third eye. I don't know. Broncos-Colts. How good are the Broncos, and are the Colts legit?
Yeah.
I mean, those are burning questions for me.
That's very fair. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's fair to rubberneck in the AFC East, where one team is going up, the other team seemingly going down. Is that how far along are we in those trajectories? Man, it's going to be a fun weekend of NFL football. And capping that off is the big question that we have. What is CJ Stroud and this Texans offense going to do? It seems like it compares pretty nicely with some of these, but there's some really good storylines that exist this weekend in the NFL. All right, you're in the loop right here. Coming up next is the time we hand things off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for a Figgy Fig Friday mixtape?
Yeah, so if you could have a strange, wildly expensive collection of anything, what would it be? 713-572-4610. And I got a lot of celebrities who got weird type of collections, and I'm going to go through it.
Okay, let's get the collection going next.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Friday. Happy Friday to everyone out there. Before we get to the I guess if you rich or famous and you got all the money in the world, what kind of things would you collect? What type of weird collection would you have? 713-572-4610. Y'all kind of lit up when I played that Soul Glow.
Every time, bro.
It's funny because remember yesterday we had a whole Coming to America pretty much vibe going on.
What's that address one more time for me?
8507 Queens Boulevard. When I got home yesterday, I cut the TV on. The first thing that popped up was Coming to America.
Oh, really?
And a little advertisement like, do you want to watch this? I said, yes.
Hell, I do.
I just clicked it on, just doing stuff around the house. And then I was sitting there with my hands on my hip, just watching. Movie was fun. It was a part. I'm going to play this part real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It was a part on there. It kind of offended me a little bit. So for those who kind of remember the movie, remember the dude, Daryl, who was the boyfriend of Lisa McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when they went to the St. John's game?
Of course.
And he said this little nugget. I kind of cringed a little bit when he said this.
What kind of games do y'all play in Africa?
Chase the monkey.
No, we play football. I believe you call it
soccer.
Oh, yeah, right.
Soccer.
Well, that's a real cute sport. Especially the way y'all bounce that ball off your heads. You know, personally, I don't like any sport where you don't use your hands.
I feel like he offended the obvious in that first part.
Yeah.
But like I feel like you kind of offended soccer people too, man.
Oh,
that ain't no cute
heck
sport.
Yeah, but this was the 80s, man. Like making fun of soccer. In fact, until
it was trendy.
So you're not offended.
Well, I understand.
So it's not a little it wasn't a little cringy.
Well,
right
I mean,
there.
I saw the movie. I know who the winner is. And it's the African side that won.
That's
so
right.
I'll have to be mad about Daryl, who ain't got no lady.
But when I heard that part, I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, soccer ain't no cute sport, man.
It was trendy in the 80s to say, oh, no, not a real sport.
In the 90s. Yeah. And probably the aughts.
I ain't using anything that don't use your hands.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, what a jerk, man. Anywho, 713-572-4610. Lopez, I brought this up because you mentioned you had a collection.
Yeah.
I think it was yesterday. What was that thing you said?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this since you mentioned it during the break. I think I would do more of that. I'm a big John Steinbeck fan.
I think
for me, the greatest turner of a phrase, writer of a dialogue and a narrative that there's been. And I know that people
will argue. The first edition.
I've gone on this has been 20 years. I've been trying to find first editions of all his books. It just feels better. Like, of Mice and Men, 1941, and you get the first time it was released. So I've got like probably 7 or 8, Tortilla Flats and, all his big books. Some of them I've had to go with second edition, and I'm still, if anybody has first edition John Steinbeck books in the attic.
Oh, wow, look at the shamelessness of this.
I am interested. Hey, I'll buy them.
I'll pay.
Yeah, I'll pay. So I'm any first edition John Steinbeck book, yeah.
Okay, so I got a list of celebrities who got some weird collections, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Nicolas Cage, not Nicolas Cage Casario.
Someone on the text line said Nicolas Randy Watson Casario approved this message. Don't worry, we are still efforting.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out. But the actor Nicolas Cage, he collects the shrunken pygmy heads.
Oh!
And haunted properties.
Yeah, that's one of those things that made me.
Pygmy heads.
Yeah. Which, you know what?
That
feels
tracks.
Like it fits because he is tracks. Such a weird human being.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, what do you think he collects?
Ooh.
Knives.
I haven't looked.
He looks like he collects knives or crystals or both.
Total guess.
So apparently,
go ahead. I don't know.
Apparently, he have a enormous Barbie collection.
Johnny Depp collects Barbies?
Yep, including the limited editions like Beyonce, Elvis, Lindsay Lohan dolls. And he uses these dolls to improvise scenes with his kids.
Wow.
So he's a Barbie collector.
That is very surprising.
From the 512. It's great to hear Lopez will pay for something. He done saved up all his coffee money all this time to buy some Steinbeck books.
Yeah. Rod Stewart, he spent almost 30 years building a massive model train.
I can get behind that.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. Why is it as men that we're like, toys? I don't know. Train? Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah. No, I kind of want to see. I'm going to have to
agree.
I kind of want to see it. Tom Hanks, he owns more than 300 vintage typewriters.
Oh, that's my guy right there. The that's my kind of guy right there. I've got two. I got two vintage that my dad gave me.
Having a whole bunch of vintage typewriters is something that you have to have a big house with a dedicated room because I can just imagine.
You need a warehouse for that.
They're heavy.
Yeah, that's a storage room type of feel.
Well, but that's the thing is it can't just be a storage room because then it looks too. Like you have to have the place to be able to set it out and make it look nice. So you have to have a nice big space for that.
Well, it's Tom Hanks, so he probably got the room and the acres and all that stuff to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, man, that's a whole nother. Those typewriters ain't small.
No, mm-hmm. No. It's got to be displayed in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Penelope Cruz, she is obsessed with coat hangers.
And come
on,
man.
And she collects different shapes, sizes, and designs.
Why?
Because she has money. That's how you know that you're living good and you're rich. Like that's how you know. You are rich because you just that is a very odd thing that I don't even know you can show off. Like how do you show off that collection?
And how is it like meaningful to you? Like you know,
well, she seemed like
typewriters. Tom Hanks, movie producer, director, writer. I get it.
Yeah. So apparently, she finds the beauty in their craftsmanship.
Craftsmanship. They're made on an assembly line.
Not all of them. Like
maybe all of them.
I'm trying, Penelope.
Yeah.
I am trying.
Angelina Jolie.
She can
what
collect
do you think?
Whatever the hell she
all
wants.
Right.
What do you think she collects?
Children.
She probably collects that.
Stairs.
From particular places. Nah.
She collects antique and custom knives.
She's the knife collector
She's
of all the people.
She's knife collector, yeah.
There's no way. She wouldn't have been
it
in the top three.
It don't even surprise me for some reason. She seemed like a knife collector.
And maybe she's a chef. Like a home,
Oh, I was thinking more like.
Don't get in an argument with her.
Yeah.
I was thinking more like throwing knives.
Yeah, maybe.
Or
maybe I'm wrong. I'm just saying, maybe I'm trying to justify it.
Maybe
here.
She does.
Yeah.
And she's been collecting them since she was a teenager.
Huh. Okay.
Is there so obviously you collect books. Figgy, is there anything that you collect or would collect?
One thing I would collect is game systems. So I was telling Sean this before the show. I'm like, I would love to collect every game system. So like the Atari, the first Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, like the real ones.
I used to have the original Atari Pong game when I was about 12 years old.
I bet you did. You were like, look at the graphics.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Elton John, he collects, guess what?
Okay.
This sunglasses.
Bingo.
Easy money.
Oh, yeah. 15,000 pairs of sunglasses.
15,000? Where?
Yeah, he actually have a whole room dedicated to sunglasses.
I kind of like this. That's him.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
I don't even know what he looked like without the sunglasses.
I know.
And then we can round it up on here with Steve Martin. He is, so people know him for collecting fine arts and all that stuff. But he's also obsessed with rare banjos.
Oh, well, he's an incredible banjo player.
Yeah, he actually
is it really?
Oh, God,
he actually have a couple albums out.
Yeah, he's like top tier.
Yeah, so he collects banjos.
You could have given me 15,000 guesses in line with
you
Elton
never
John.
Guessed?
Never. Wouldn't have gotten there.
Really? Elton John?
No, but
Steve Martin.
The Steve Martin
Steve
banjo
Martin.
Thing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, man.
Some of those tracks, some of them do not track at all.
No, I think mine would be a very something very simple like records, just records. Jazz records,
that's
vinyl,
a really good
vinyl
one.
Albums. I want to be.
When if you was super rich, you could get whatever you want. What's the one thing you would collect?
That is really tough. I think I would start with. I think I'd start with jazz records. Funny, like I think really? I, okay. But I just get a ton of them. Like trying to get first printings.
Yeah.
And like getting into because I mean you talk about jazz records going all the way back. Just get a whole bunch of Blue Note, Columbia records, all those types of things where you can get some early printings of those would be dope. Is there anything in the sports space that you would collect? Like, are you?
I know Sean Pendergast mentioned he would collect like wrestling belts.
Oh, okay.
Like from back in the day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He'd collect a lot of those bobbleheads.
You know me and college football and basketball. I think some of that memorabilia, like original Jim Thorpe's helmet, you know, go back as far as you want. Bronco Nagurski, you know, way back stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Let's talk about a couple who filed for a divorce. They filed for a divorce because apparently they couldn't come up with a name for their kid.
What?
Yep, so a couple in Shanghai, China. What happened?
I'm sorry, I'm just Read thinking. It. No, it's not even the text. I'm just thinking about the argument that had to ensue about naming a kid that it's like, you know what? I don't even want to do this anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't even know if this make it funnier or not, but it's a couple from Shanghai, China.
Okay.
They filed for a divorce after 2 years of marriage because they had a baby boy last year and couldn't agree on the name. And I guess the hospital and all that stuff kind of stepped in. The courts tried to step in. Because it was messing everything up. Like, the baby couldn't get proper medical attention because it didn't have a name. It was a lot going on there. Birth certificate. They didn't even have a birth certificate.
Dang.
So,
this was serious.
Yeah, it got so bad to the point they never came up with a solution.
What were the options? What were they arguing over?
I have no idea. I would love to see the option. Yeah. Like, what names they was thinking
of. You know what? If y'all couldn't find one name in the millions of names, y'all probably don't. Like, y'all couldn't find no middle ground at all.
Yeah.
That y'all couldn't. I mean, there's so many different names. We couldn't get to a John or a Matt or a Susie. There was none that was like, this feels like something I could live
with. We can compromise.
Y'all clearly don't need to be together at all. Clearly.
So, and to kind of make it worse, now they're going through a divorce.
Yeah.
So now they got to go through the custody battle.
And the kid,
Oh, God, that's even scarier. If y'all can come up with a name, how y'all supposed to split the house in the, earnings?
I want weekends. I want weekends.
It's like, I want the house. Well, I want the car.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Happy Friday to everyone out there. I just kind of want to give a couple salutes. I got to give a salute to my good friend Kim Davis.
Hey,
she actually have a new show on The CW 39,
all right,
which premieres tonight at 10 p.m. called H-Town Sports Talk. And she's doing the show with Brad Gilmore, who used to be around here.
Yeah.
You see him a lot with Booker T. So I just want to give a special salute to her.
Good
shout
for
out
her.
To Kim.
Yeah, 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 doing good things. Keep one thing I like about her, she just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter. Like she always chases her dreams,
mm-hmm.
which kind of leads me to this. So it's a guy, by, I got to give another salute to a guy by the name of Kent Brissard.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about LSU a little earlier.
Yeah.
And at the age of 66, he decided to go back to chase a dream.
Random fandom, meet Kent Broussard, who at 66 years young went back to school to chase a dream that began in 1968. Now, the first time he watched LSU inside Tiger Stadium, he was just 9 years old. Life took him another way, a career raising a family, but he had a dream of joining the Golden Band from Tigerland. And 5 years ago, Kent picked up the tuba, he practiced, he trained, and yes, he enrolled at LSU. Audition. He made the band tonight, nearly six decades later. There he is, Kent Broussard, a 66-year-old freshman. Broussard making his dream come true. He took the field at halftime with the Golden Band from Tigerland. How great is that? And Broussard, a great quote, said, "People retire, but dreams don't."
Bars. That is a bar.
Yeah. I thought that was dope.
I'm so glad you brought this up.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was dope.
It was making the rounds, and I was like, "That is the coolest thing you could ever see."
But
it,
yeah. The one thing is, he's even more of a message that if you want to take it, because he didn't just like, "I want to get in the band." That man was like, he had a routine for a mm-hmm. good long time of getting out and you know running
practicing.
And walking mm-hmm. in order to get not just practicing the instrument, but getting himself back in shape. So because apparently. The LSU
yeah,
band, like the process of trying to get in is rigorous. Not even just, it's rigorous to get in.
Oh,
like,
yeah, audition.
The cutdown is hard,
yeah.
man. So shout out to him doing that. It was fun to see him with the big old sousaphone. I think that they asked him, "You sure you want a big instrument? You don't want to get nothing smaller?"
Yeah,
but
tuba, man.
Yeah, what I realized like just, with all the things like, oh, is there something sports related that you would collect? Mm-hmm. I am literally wearing it. I collect soccer jerseys.
Yeah,
I don't know why I didn't.
Yeah. I almost said that. Yeah.
It's literally soccer shirts, 100%.
And by the way, Kim Davis, shout out. I've known her for decades. Sure hope that Aggie game doesn't go to overtime.
Oh, because you're not. You're
no,
like,
it starts at 6:30.
Are they on the CW?
And no.
Okay, I was about to say.
But she'll be watching it.
Oh, yeah.
It starts at 6:30. Her show starts at 10.
Yeah.
And if I look, looking at
she's
that game,
a big Aggie.
It feels like it would go long. Well, you know what? If you have your own TV show, I feel like it's a good enough reason for you to have to come back and watch it a little
she
bit.
She probably later. Have it on the phone or somewhere, keep score on the Apple Watch or something. Yep.
Yeah. So shout out to Kim. Shout out to all you and your collections. And shout out to Figgy Fig for yet another fantastic mixtape here in the Loop, 1:20 p.m. every weekday. On the program. All right, coming up next, we continue a Football Friday as we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the Drive. They're out at BB's out there off of West Grand Parkway in Katy. They got the In the Loop commemorative pint glasses. Get out there and get those. But before we get there, we got to draft the weekend. Let's do that next. Yeah, it's been a very, very fun Football Friday. A little funk in there as well to make it a funky Football Friday. And remember, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight everything that he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. The Football Friday presented by Academy will continue. Here in a little bit when we hand things off to the fellas of the Drive, Clint and Ron, who are out at BB's right off of 99, I think it's Grand Parkway out there in Katy. Go see the fellas. Go grab you an In the Loop commemorative Football Friday glass. We've seen them. They're fantastic. So you want to make sure you
get one of them. Hair up.
He's got the hair up in them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're true to form. Like they're not. It's not like when you get these statues or whatever, and it don't look like nobody.
Yeah.
It actually pretty much looks like us.
Yeah.
I think so.
Ain't no Dwayne Wade's on that glass.
So go out, see the fellas. I'm gonna see if I can pop out there if things allow me to. But before we get to anything, we got to set up what is gonna be. I think it's setting up to be a really fun weekend of sports. So let's get back to drafting the weekend, fellas. How does that sound?
Sounds good. I have a question though before we get started.
Yeah.
Are the Astros Mr. Irrelevant this on this draft?
Oh no, I actually am very high on.
God okay, well, bless you, man.
Maybe that's a tell.
It is a tell. I didn't feel bad about it because I know damn well y'all not picking it.
Man, we had too many losses this week, yeah. Man. I can't go with the Astros again, man.
So who's drafting first?
You know what? I think Figgy's been fantastic this week. I think we go Figgy, and then we'll go clockwise. So you go next.
Ooh, okay. Let me see who I really want to watch, man.
Mm-hmm. He's setting us up.
Nah. Honestly, I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit. I'm leaving here to go right over there in third ward. I want to see the Cougs take on Colorado.
All right.
Yeah, this one's going to be really fun. Just quickly, I'm interested in what does the UH offense look like, because that's a big question. But then also, is this defense for real? Because they've done a good job early on, but those two challenges weren't of the level of Colorado, which, again, still isn't even of the level of the fullness of the Big 12 that the Cougars mm-hmm. will face. Let's see how far along Willie Fritz is in the development of his program.
You going to tailgate?
Yes. Ooh. Yeah, I'm getting there early.
All right.
I'm going to get there early.
Wait to see.
He's got to go.
I know the content's going to flow from that, too.
Yeah. You got the Cougar parade going mm-hmm. on. So I'm going to be there the whole time, man.
Yeah. I will be drafting the best game of the weekend, the most anticipated game of the weekend, Texas A&M at Notre Dame. Obviously, the Fighting Irish, terrific place to watch a football game. And apparently, I was just talking to T. Mill about this.
Yeah, and I was going to bring this up.
I mean, apparently, he's getting texts. We're getting reports like 15 to 20,000 Aggies. Now, it might not mean a damn thing. They might get run out of the gym. But that's going to be a great environment, too. That many. Like O'Hare Airport is like Aggies everywhere and all that. Maybe they're just setting themselves up for a long ride home. But it's going
to
be pretty cool.
That is such an Aggie thought to have. You know, like it could go real bad for us.
Of course it could.
No, but I mean, that's to be unexpected when you've got two programs of this magnitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, funny enough, I knew you were going to take this one, but I would have selected this one if you didn't. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you could just talk about the little numbers that are right next to them, because that's why why we have rankings right now, is mm-hmm. to create intrigue, because you have two ranked teams. But no, I'm very intrigued. Mm-hmm. As I was mentioning earlier, I haven't had a chance to see A&M really, mm-hmm. or at least I haven't taken the time to watch them just yet. This is such a great first introduction to what this team is year under Elko. So I'm
stoked.
Notre Dame
has to win this game just to stay in the hunt. I mean, I know they can always, you can always back it up, but they're, you know, like in the SEC, if the Aggies lose, there's still a path. You know, doing well in the SEC, losing maybe at the most two games or whatever. Notre Dame's going to have to, you know, win the impressive games, you know, the tough games on their schedule to make a case.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely mm-hmm. fair. So that's a good pick as well. You guys will leave me what is pretty easy here on the NFL slate, which is the rematch of the Super Bowl. Give me Eagles, Chiefs. I want to see this. Like, what are the Eagles as they continue? Mm-hmm. And then really more importantly, where are the Chiefs? Because that was a little bit of a rough game mm-hmm. there in Sao Paulo. But, of course, there's the international travel. There's how far along have the Chargers progressed? Are we seeing the downturn of the Chiefs? Are we seeing this start to skid
Absolutely.
A little bit? And I think the Eagles will give us a good look at that. So I'm very intrigued on that one on Sunday.
All right, I'm going to stick with college on this one. I'm torn between these two. I was looking at Florida and LSU. I kind of intrigued to kind of see how the hell Florida going to bounce back, mm-hmm. if they going to bounce back. And then I was thinking Wisconsin and Alabama, just to kind of see
the disaster.
I just want to see a disaster. I think I'm going to go with Florida and LSU on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way for the same reason. I know Georgia, Tennessee is sitting right there. I know some really good NFL games are sitting right there.
You're going to try and sell me Diego Pavia again, aren't you?
No. Georgia, Tennessee.
I was like, I'm not buying Diego Pavia.
Wisconsin, Alabama.
Oh!
For the same reason. Alabama.
He just picked Wisconsin, Alabama, didn't he?
No, he picked.
You just picked Wisconsin, Alabama.
No, I picked LSU and Florida.
Yeah, oh,
LSU,
that's right. Florida. It's crazy. Alabama and Florida both in the same predicament where we have an opportunity to laugh at them.
Yeah.
My brain does not compute such things.
Yeah. No. It's just intriguing. I mean, this is the program of the last, 15 years? You know, 10 at least?
Sucks to be the guy after the guy now, don't it?
Man, it's going to be crazy.
Man, yeah, those are both very fair. You'll leave it for me, and you know what? I'm still not taking it. I'm not taking a bait here. You know what I want? Give me big-time boxing. Give me Canelo. Right. Give me Crawford. I really want to see this one. Even though it feels like Canelo definitely has the edge here, I want to see how much of a dog Bud Crawford can be going up a couple of
Astros of weight classes. Aaron Rodgers in the draft right now, man.
They are falling. Yeah. They are falling. I did realize. Will Levis.
Will Levis.
Look, there's a lot of draft value that I can get here. Why use a first round pick when, you know, we got some later picks that we can get into this with?
I got one more.
Yes, sir.
I kind of want to see a fight this weekend too. I want to see the Browns versus the Ravens this weekend. I know it got to be some fights on the field at
there
this
will
point,
be.
Man.
There
well,
will
more be. Importantly, there's going to be some fights in the stands. That's the thing that I anticipate.
Probably 100%. Yes. Hopefully, I don't run across it on the timeline, but it's definitely going to be some fights.
Definitely.
All right, one more? Your final?
You want to pick one more?
Yeah, that starts the final.
Again, this is more just intriguing how good they are. I mentioned it earlier when we were talking about the NFL. Broncos, Colts, all of a sudden.
It's a good call.
Broncos, Colts. I mean, are the Colts? I don't believe, but should I? Broncos, you know, are really good, obviously, defensively, especially. I want to see Broncos, Colts.
If the Colts beat the Broncos.
Oh, my gosh.
Man.
Yeah, Monday night becomes even more so. Like,
sick.
Oh, boy.
Like, I don't even know how much it'll actually change, how much I believe in the Colts. It'll just make me upset.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just make me upset that I have to take them a different level of serious than I had previously. And I will finish out. And I'll be greedy. I'll take the whole series. Give me Astros.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Give me Astros Mr. Braves. Yeah. Ended up being there.
But you take it, Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah. Look, man, the Braves are not a good baseball team. You got to at least what do you have? I almost want to pull up the Michael Irvin. You know, what are you going to do in this moment? Like, you are crashing down. There's the team that has been trailing you is now tied with you on the standings. What are you going to do at this juncture? Are you going to fold, or are you going to show up and be the Astros that we're used to?
Mm-hmm.
That is to be seen this weekend amongst many, many incredible sports things. I mean, there's stuff on. We left Georgia, Tennessee on the table. There's so much good stuff to watch and engage with this weekend.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.